This is not a compilation of Jesus' greatest hits. He says some pretty serious things here today and very challenging to all of us. And I think many times when we look at the teachings, particularly these hard teachings of Jesus, and many of the teachings of the church, especially in the moral realm, we often say, isn't that a little much? I know that people outside the church don't often understand Catholic teaching, particularly moral teaching, and very often those within the church don't either, or at least they don't agree with it, or they think they don't. Let's get behind some of that, though. What is the purpose of law? The purpose of law, at least divine law, is to bring us back into union with God. If we hit the rewind button and go back to the third chapter of Genesis, that is the fall of man. Prior to the fall, our wills, our minds, our thoughts, our decisions were in perfect tune with God. Not that we were puppets and that we just simply did whatever he told us to do robotically, but that we just naturally tended to harmonize with him. Much like, if you think about it, if you have friends or people or you know, someone or a group that with which you identify very strongly, that you see things the same way, you understand things the same way, you're united in purpose, you're united in what you think is important. Does that mean that person is controlling you or that you are controlling them? No. And it usually is a very edifying sort of experience. It builds us up. It allows us, when we have groups and unity like that in groups, it allows us to do more than we as individuals could ever do. It allows us to have a greater purpose and greater effectiveness in everything that we do. And that is exactly the way it was before the fall. We were united completely with God, and that let a power course through us that the world really has not seen since, except for, you know, perhaps Jesus and Mary. You know, and then we look at the fall. What happened there? Well, the bottom line is that the evil one, as brilliant and cunning as he is, convinced our parents, our first parents, that God maybe didn't have their best interest at heart. He placed that doubt in their minds, and then their decisions from that point on deviated from his, deviated from the will of God. And sin introduces its way into the world, and it has been rippling through our history ever since. We see it in wars, we see it in strife, we see it in injustice, we see it in conflict, we see it in arguments among families, we see it everywhere. Everywhere where there is discord and disunity and pain, that is where we will find sin. And so the Lord wants to liberate us from this. And so gradually, over time, as we read through both the Old and the New Testaments, God stages this rescue operation for us. As my professor, Father Barron, used to call it, he said, you know, the salvation history is God's rescue operation. And it really is. He wants to rescue us from this divergent path that we're on, that is divergent from the Lord. And so he gives us the law. Through Moses, he gave us the law that was given to the chosen people. And it was to be a guide. And as St. Paul tells us in the letter to the Hebrews, it is kind of a nursemaid or a nanny, so to speak, for us. The law was a nanny for us to guide us and protect us and give us what we needed as we were in our spiritual infancy. But then, finally, the law comes to fulfillment in Jesus. And that is what Jesus is saying to us today. I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. You know, If anybody here has ever done carpentry work, sometimes when you pull a board out of a stack, it's crooked. And you say, how can I use this to build what it is that I need to build? Well, there are creative ways in which you could make that board straight, especially when you're nailing it to another board that is straight. You know, you can bend and you can twist it, and as you nail in certain ways, you can make it straighten out. It takes some work, it takes some craft, it takes some knowledge and finesse sometimes, but you can do it. And that is exactly what the law seeks to do by placing a nail here and a restriction here and a bend here and a torque here. We can be then straightened out and be more in line with what God wants for us. That isn't always easy to do, but it can happen. So when many people look at the moral law as given to us through the church, they say, that's impossible. Nobody can live that. That's true. Nobody can live it perfectly on their own. Not without grace, not without forgiveness whenever we fall. But we can do it. And the Lord wants to encourage us not to throw up our hands and say, well, it's impossible, it can't be done, therefore I won't try. Rather, he wants us to say, it is nearly impossible, and yet I'm going to try. I'm going to try to be as good as I can be for God. When we look at this reading from the gospel, one thing that occurs instantly to everybody who reads it or hears it is that, wow, Jesus is really harsh. As hard as it was to live the Jewish law with all of its 600 and so precepts, he's actually going beyond that. He's saying, don't just avoid adultery, but if you, you know, lust for anybody in your heart, you're committing adultery. Wow, you know, that's really stepping it up several notches. We all know how much harder it is to control our thoughts than it is our actions. But yet that's what Jesus is asking us to do. You know, impossible? No. Hard? Yes. Why is he asking that of us? Is he just simply wanting to be unreasonable, to make life harder for us? Is that what he's doing? I think rather, what he's doing is asking us to get to the heart of the matter. I think we all know that we can all do the right things, but maybe for the wrong reasons. It's very possible to do the right thing, but not for the right reason. Jesus wants us to go deeper than that. Rather, he wants us to get at the root of what causes our sinful actions. Think about it. If we root anger out of our hearts, how likely do you think it is that we are going to commit murder or character defamation or gossip? If we root anger out of our hearts truly, are we going to be aggressive toward people? Are we going to demean them? No. No, we're not. If we can root lust out of our lives and out of our hearts, then do you think we're going to commit infidelity? Do you think we're going to objectivize other people? Do you think we're going to contribute to a culture of pornography? Do you think we're going to do any of those things? No, we won't. And that's Jesus' point. When we get down to the heart of the matter, when we dig in there and see what it is that drives us or drives us crazy, then we work on that, then our actions are not just some white-knuckled attempt at living a good life. No, I'm doing these right things even though on the inside I am an absolute whirlwind. No, Jesus wants to free us from that. He wants our lives to be lived as a free response to what's in our hearts. You know, and so whenever we line our hearts up with his, then goodness is effortless. And that's what he wants for us. That's what he wants for us. He doesn't want us to white-knuckle it through life, but rather he wants us to dig into our hearts and understand what it is that makes us sin and try our very best to root it out of our lives through the sacraments, through prayer, and through trust that he is there with us and helping us to do that. So, finally, I just want to conclude with this last couple of lines from our gospel. Lest we say, well, you know, the teachings of the church, there are just too many of them, they're too hard, and there's some I just don't like. You know, I like these over here, but I don't like these over here. To that, I just simply give the words of Jesus. He says, let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Do we trust Jesus and his church? It's yes or no. And so, stepping outside of that yes or no, he says, anything more is from the evil one. So, let's trust the Lord as best we can. And let's understand that his laws are not meant to be burdensome, as the gospel also says, but really that that it is meant to be something that frees us to be ever more living the life of Eden.